is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hello, this is JT Foreman, and welcome to episode 87 of Bitter Comics. Oof. Woohoo! I am here with two new friends of mine. I want to make sure I pronounce this right. Paolo Martin.
Yeah.
Did I get the first name right? Paolo?
No, Paolo.
Just Paolo?
Yeah.
Like Apollo, but without the
Yeah, or Paolo... Wait, without the U?
Paolo Apollo Martin.
Paolo.
Paolo Apollo. Oh. Paolo.
Like Paul.
P A O L O.
P A O L O. No, P A U L O.
Or P A U L O. Paolo.
How am I forgetting my own
name? Are we pronouncing the U in your name? Because my brother's name is Paul. You don't pronounce the U. It's just Paul.
No.
P A U L, but just Paul.
No, it's
not. So it's not Paul O. It's Paolo.
Paolo. No, it's Paul O because it's just
Paolo.
They're just like we're gonna make this a Filipino name.
Right. All right, we are gonna make Paul a Filipino name. God damn it!
So there's a D at the end.
silent D. You'll know when it's Paolo creeping Martin. Up on you.
There's a silent seven in the middle.
You don't know. There's some Chinese symbols that I don't even know.
Paolo Martin and. Edward Sativa.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello to you. And since we've been explaining names and stuff like that, I'm going to tell you, my name wasn't Sativa. My parents actually changed it when we moved to the States.
Really? What was it before?
Yeah, it was Edward OG Purple Kush.
OG Purple Kush.
Yes, dude, I say hello to you every time in a bag.
Hello, OG Purple Kush.
I love you.
Dude, did you know you had a twin
brother?
So
that was you. Well, we're going to talk about goofy pot names in a minute. But for now, we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. Now, this is episode 87, so for my insensitivity in episode 86, I would like to apologize to black people, bathroom blowjobs, lazy writing, Roger Ebert, twins, all women who even vaguely are associated with the Fresno comedy scene,
oh,
and spoilers. If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 86 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you feel I owe any additional apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And then the subject line, please put, dude, Roger Ebert died 6 months ago. What the fuck took you so long to talk about him for?
Thank you.
How's it going, guys?
Thank you. It's going great, especially after that. I was going to say, I haven't listened to podcast 86, but I'm hoping that in podcast 88, you're going to retract your apology to Roger Ebert.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a fan?
I'm a huge fan of not him.
You don't know who he is, dude. You have no idea who Roger Ebert is.
I'm a huge fan of not him.
It's okay. You have no idea who Roger Ebert is.
No,
dude.
I know. He's the dude with...
But do you know who he was, though? What he did in his life?
He was the critic, right?
Yes, he was. He and Roger Ebert and I can't remember the other dude's name.
Yeah, Ebert and Roper.
No, before him.
Before him,
Siskel, Dean Siskel, and Roger Ebert. They were movie reviewers for two Chicago newspapers, and they started doing At the Movies. Which, when I was a kid growing up, you know, my dad, single parent, six kids. You know, making under $1,000 a month. I don't think I saw a movie until like Jedi or something, and I was like 15 or 16 or something. I you know, I never got to go see movies, but I watched that show every week at the movies.
Wow.
Where they would talk about the new movies coming out, because I wanted to have enough information to fake my way through the conversations at school about the cool movies that were out.
Oh, wait.
It's like, you know what? I don't have cable, so I don't get to watch, you know, Breaking Bad when it's on. I get to watch it a year later when it's on Netflix. But I do make a point of going and to the Wikipedia page because someone always puts spoiler alert and then the synopsis, and I go over and read that just so I don't seem like an idiot at work.
But that must have worked against you with the whole Siskel and Ebert thing, because I remember watching them and they'd give a horrible review on a movie that I thought was fucking awesome. And so it must have been like you went to school and all the kids were talking about, oh, this movie and such this and that. And then here you come in after Siskel and Ebert.
Well,
and
you know, like, I just love
it. It's like Ghostbusters, for example. You've seen Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if either of you have never seen it because you're what, 23?
Yeah.
And you're 27?
I'm older than you.
Really?
Yeah.
You're over 41.
Oh, no. Never what? Mind.
How old are you?
I'm amazing.
35. Okay. I was like, okay, well, you know, like, you saw Ghostbusters when you were a kid.
Yeah, I saw when I was out, yeah.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if you... Paulo. It wouldn't surprise me if you had never seen Ghostbusters, because it came out when you were a baby, or maybe not even born yet. I don't know.
I don't think. I didn't even know English by that time.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, you know, nowadays when someone says I've never seen the original Star Wars, it really doesn't surprise me all that much because you know, maybe they weren't even alive when it was out.
Mm.
But you know, so. Like when Ghostbusters came out, I didn't get to see it when it was in the theaters. They rented it when it came out on VHS. Yeah. But of course it was long past. But I did get to see a couple of the cool scenes that they showed clips of on at the movies. You know, if everyone's like, "Oh, you know what my favorite scene was? It was when it was when Sigourney Weaver and what was his name? Rick Moranis turned into dogs, man. That was awesome. That was the only scene of that whole movie I'd seen because that was the clip they showed. But it was a cool scene, and I got to claim, well, that was my favorite scene, which technically it was my favorite scene because it was the only one I saw. It was also my least favorite scene. It was also, to me, the most mediocre scene, the most poorly written, the most well-written, the best special effects. You know, it's so many things that I could say about that scene.
And it was all honest.
The only one I'd ever seen.
You have taken movie watching to a whole new level. Yeah, you have the YouTube that was your YouTube of trailers.
I'm not even going to watch movies anymore. Mm. Now that I've had this conversation with you, I'm just going to like Netflix the trailer and that's it. Like, YouTube the trailer and that's
it. Well, I mean, the only reason you were going to go see the movie is so that you get to tell everyone else that you saw it. You know, that's the biggest reason. Like, oh, did you see Avatar? You didn't see Avatar? You know, it's like, I didn't see Titanic until it had been in the theater 6 months.
Yeah, did you know they made Titanic 2?
Did they make a Titanic 2?
It was the fantasy sequel where the boat makes it to New York.
I have no idea.
I'm like, wait,
what else happened? Okay, now they're showing the boat still underwater? Is that what they're showing?
Wait, if there's a Titanic 2, how many Titanic events have happened? How many boats have they made? This
no, I gotta say, I don't believe you.
No, we'll Google it.
We'll have to Google that later and check it out. Because that's
Titanic 2. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys, for coming out to do my podcast. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Edward Stiva, yes. I won't say I've known you for very long, but we did meet for the first time a while back.
Yes.
You've been doing comedy now for, what, about a year and a half?
Oh, about few months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Paolo, you just went for the first time, like, week before last? Or was it last week?
No, that was actually my fifth one.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been
going to other places to do comedy?
Yeah, I've been jumping around to Scores, to Peas, everywhere else.
Okay, both of you are pretty new.
Fairly new. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Let me start with you, Paolo. Yeah. What made you decide to start doing comedy? Well, you were in the Army for a few years and got out pretty recently.
3 years, 4 months, and 26 days, and I wasn't counting a day. But we had a lot of times in the military, and it was fun out there, and we just need somebody to laugh at, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you just you kind of have this way where you're getting blown up and you're just like, I hope the sandwiches are alive. The guy in that car got blown up. That's the only thing I'm hoping for. Because that's humanity right there.
They blew up the lunch cart again. God damn it.
I'm not angry that I'm
hungry. Well, yeah, John's dead. But damn it. I'm hungry.
That's the second lunch cart this week.
Can I claim John Sandwich?
He's not going to need it.
Oh, man.
That's horrible. You know what? Any of you out there who are mad right now, he was in Afghanistan, and he's making fun of it, so...
It's a veteran.
Send him your letters.
You gotta laugh at it sometimes.
And you guys would have hated to hear his Veterans Day jokes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Were they that bad?
No.
Dude, I didn't even remember. Were they that bad?
I don't think I saw you do a show on Veterans Day.
Well, you know, whenever I do jokes and... whenever I do my jokes about my time in the Navy, if people don't laugh, I just say, hey... How many of you people here served in the military? And most of the time, there'll be like one or two people, and all the rest of them never served.
Yeah.
I said, all right, all of you who didn't serve, you have to laugh at my jokes, or you're unpatriotic. Yeah. I will call Glenn Beck on you, and he will come here, and he will hold a rally.
You will grab a Fox
News will that Fox News will talk about on the network, even though only five people show up to it.
We'll have a chalkboard out. Veteran he will Joel have a Foreman laser pointer, and he will have the new That's giant right. iPads that they have in the Fox room.
Exactly.
Have you seen those things? Those things are the most. They just enlarged the iPad. That's all they did. There's no computer screen.
I think one of the producers went to Vegas and saw the Blue Man Group show.
Yeah.
Because they have a thing in the. I saw the Blue Man Group a few months back when I took my girlfriend to Vegas, and they have this thing that they do where they bring these giant smartphones out, and you know they're playing around with it on the stage. I think the guys at Fox News must have seen that, and decided, hey, we can steal this idea.
If that was his inspiration, my inspiration for that is being on my phone in my bed, glaring at it an inch away from my face.
You know, when the iPad first came out, I thought it was a smartphone for old people. You know, because I figured it had like you know giant buttons on the front. Because, you know, old people stuff is always really big, so you can read it. And I figured, oh, okay, well, it's just holding a giant iPad up to your head.
Yeah. It's either that or it was a phone for, like, NBA players so they can finally fit in their hands.
Yeah, that might be it, too. Because have you ever stood next to an actual NBA player? Some of those guys are pretty friggin' tall. I'm 6'1", so it's not like I'm tiny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of these guys are... the tallest one like is like 7'3 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. What? I couldn't stand next to an NBA player because my head would be right at his penis level. It's like,
yeah, you know? There's a happy man right there.
I feel like he'd be, like, the perfect person to like stack dishes at the top of the cupboard. Just be like that guy to go to.
But he'd have to like bend down to do it.
That's terrible. You started doing comedy a few months back. I interrupted you. What was it that Paula? What was it that got you to start doing comedy?
I honestly just wanted to make people happy.
Did you start doing it while you were back in Afghanistan?
I did it. I just did it for friends. You know, if we're just down, or we did it in Korea as well. You know, in Texas, and you know, it just passes the time that way. You know, what's better than laughing at yourself in a bad situation? You know.
Well, I'm sure you found that making people laugh in conversation and making them laugh on stage is a lot different.
Yeah,
by far,
very different. You know,
so when you got back to the States, you just decided to go up to a show somewhere and just started going to open mics?
Yeah, I just one day just like started writing everything that I started saying and went to an open mic and just had fun with it, you know?
Cool. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I still struggle with is remembering to write everything down when I think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, last night when we were at Starving Artist Bistro, we were sitting out back and talking about stuff. And I came up with something that everyone laughed at, and it didn't occur to me to write it down right then, and I can't remember what it is now. It's like, you know, humor lost to the ages, you know.
That must be hard for you, because we laugh at a lot of the things you say.
I'm kind of ridiculous. I will admit that. You know, I've often thought, well, maybe I should just leave a recorder on at all times. You know, just to make sure we got to document everything, just to make sure we don't miss any of it. But hey, we're gonna take a break real quick, and then we're gonna get to Edward's impetus to beginning his comedy career. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Edward Stiva and Paolo Martin. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Edward Sativa and Paolo Martin. We are the Bitter Comics, and we are back. All right. Edward Sativa.
Yes.
As Paolo was saying before, awesome last name, Sativa. Yes. Uh-huh. It's strong, and it's exciting. You know, it's like that's the James Bond of Mexican last names.
Yeah. Sometimes it'll get you. But you're not Mexican, though.
You're a different kind of Latino. Yeah. I don't.
I'm Asian.
You're Asian?
Yeah. I'm an asshole. Every time I smoke, I'm Asian, but it's okay. My eyes. But that's about it.
No.
Yeah,
what, no. Well, you know, it's like, yeah. I people start say Latino or. You know, because sometimes people from different countries get offended if you say Mexican.
Sure.
And I'm a white guy, and people just call me white guy. If they got the wrong European country, I wouldn't care.
Would you be offended? No.
You know, and honestly, I don't think you can get the wrong white European country, because I have ancestors from every European country except, like, Portugal and Greece.
Yeah.
So you just guess, and it's like, close enough.
I don't know. I guess, especially, like, and I'll just put it, like, in general, Hispanics in general.
Yeah, I'll just go with Hispanic.
They come with a lot of pride. You know, they come with a lot of pride. So,
you
talk to guys Cuban, and you confuse him with somebody else.
Isn't it like El Salvadorian?
Hey, bro, I'm Cuban.
It's El Salvadorians and Mexicans that just hate each other.
Mm. Well, you know, Paolo, you're Filipino, which is the Mexico of Asia.
Yeah,
my girlfriend is Filipino. She says the same thing. Typhoon is Asian for hurricane, I guess. Or is it actually different? Because I don't actually know. Because every time I hear about a hurricane that's in Asia, they always call it a typhoon.
Oh.
So is it just the same, and they just call it something different?
Okay.
Or is there a difference?
Here's what I think it is, and I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure here's what it is. Hurricanes have like stages, like a stage one hurricane. You know, 3, 4, 5, etc.
Well, that's just the strength, though.
Yeah, but once it passes that, it becomes a typhoon.
No, that's not right.
No. So I'm making this stuff up, but thank you for correcting me.
Hurricanes come in category 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah,
and 5,
right? Yeah.
And typhoons are in the same category. So I think they're just the same thing. Typhoon is Asian for hurricane.
No. Typhoons are for plowing, and then hurricanes have holes in it. That's why they're all female names for, like, Katrina. That's why it's called that. Statistical fact there.
Really? Because that sounds dirty.
Those hurricanes are bitches.
Oh, God.
That sounds dirty. No, you know, it might be just like an Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean thing. I don't know.
That may very well be. I don't even know either.
But, anyway, okay, so you went, Edward, why did you start doing comedy? And don't take that as an insult. I don't mean it. Why did you start doing it? And I don't mean it like that. What was it made you want to start subjecting yourself to this public humiliation?
I'll bring it forward. I'll do this chronologically. I grew up in the 80s.
Okay.
And the 80s is when, like, we had that real big comic boom.
Yes, I do remember that.
So we're, like, close to the same age bracket, so we would both remember that. And I had a few records, and one of the records I had was Eddie Murphy. And I had an Eddie Murphy special. Delirious, I think I had Raw. But I think the one I had on record was Delirious. And I had it on record, and I remember listening to it with my buddy Nick back then. It's a different Nick that's going to be later on in this story.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with that. And so, just being in that environment, you know, in that era, you know, in the 80s, just be like, oh my gosh, there's so many comics coming out. I was eating it up. So, years later, right, to present, was a few months back, and Chris had started, Richie and Chris were doing that Scores thing.
Yeah, they do the. There's open mic at Scores in Tower District the second and fourth Wednesday of every month.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, my buddy Nick, different Nick.
Nick Warner?
No, Nick Piccone.
Okay.
So we're all mutual friends.
Don't know who that is.
We used to work at Sprint together, so that's where it was, where Chris is currently working right now. So, Nick, he calls me up one Wednesday at about, I want to say, 7 o'clock. 7:30, and he says, hey, you need to go over there and check out Chris Cruz. You need to do this open mic. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know. I'm tired. You know, I wasn't going to do anything. I was going to sit on the couch and watch TV. And he says, no, you got to go do it. And I was like, okay, what time does it start? He's like, 8 o'clock. And I was like, screw it, I'll do it. Wrote some material on the way over there. Did it. Thanks. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Chris Cruz. I got there. I did my 5 minutes. I got my first laugh, and I loved it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah. I was, the first time I got up on stage, my first joke got a laugh, and I was hooked.
Yeah, right.
That's so. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. It's a really cool feeling, and when they like your joke, and it's a really bad feeling when they don't. You know, just, I don't know if you have had the everyone staring at you like you're from another planet experience yet.
I'm waiting for that. Okay, yesterday we did the Starving Artist,
yeah,
and that was, and I don't accept that as bombing.
Well, that was a difficult crowd because, you know, they were paying attention, but they weren't laughing that loud. But when I finished my set, I got a big round of applause. Mm-hmm. So they enjoyed the show. I mean, you know,
yeah,
and people were laughing. You know, I do a joke and they would laugh real quick and then be quiet again real fast.
It was
which
weird.
Is you know, they wouldn't let. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the room wasn't full. It's always easier to perform to a larger crowd than a smaller one. Easiest show I ever did was do a room with 1,000 people in it.
Wow. Yeah.
And the hardest show I ever did was one guy with one arm. And that
was just difficult. It doesn't even count as one guy.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No,
go ahead.
Yeah. But I've been waiting to bomb. You know, a comic friend of mine, Chris Garcia. I always talk with him. He always gives me a lot of advice, a lot of encouragement and critiques and stuff. And as well as a lot of other comedians do out here, they've just been very welcoming. And he's like, oh man, I hope you bomb. He's like, I meant that in a good way though. Like, you need to experience that. And yesterday I don't feel that because I felt like the crowd was just, you know, it just wasn't really there, and I much rather like have a legitimate bomb so I can know what that feeling is like. I don't know
about
but
you,
I do
but
want
I
people
bombed.
To laugh at my jokes, so don't go over there and just bomb out of, you know.
I've bombed before. It was not bad. It's just like nobody wants to laugh at your jokes, and you're just getting nervous, and that's what bombing is. You know, if you just laugh at your own jokes.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I've bombed, and I have. But it was when I first started doing comedy, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And when I look back on the jokes that I tried telling then, I'm embarrassed for myself. I mean, I had this one joke where I talked about James Bond's family. You know, his brother just kept getting arrested. His name was Bail Bond. And you're laughing because you not because it's funny, but because you recognize what a horrible joke this is. And his grandfather who fought in the war is War Bond. And, you know, his cousin with a lot of money was Savings Bond. Yeah.
Wow.
I went there. That's right. And everyone's just looking at me like, you can tell you're bombing not by the audience's reaction, because they might be enjoying it and listening and paying attention but not laughing. That's always possible.
Right.
You know you're bombing when the audience is silent and the comics in the back of the room are laughing their ass off. How you know you're bombing. If the audience is silent and the other comics are laughing hysterically, you're sucking ass right now.
And that was your experience.
Pretty much. Everyone in the back was like, do that. And I had this one bit that I used to do where I would actually take my shirt off. I'm still bitter now, hence the Bitter Comics is the podcast. But this was when I was even more bitter, especially about women. And I was on stage, I was complaining about women and how women don't like me, and here's why. And at one point, I took my shirt off, and I said, I've got a mole that looks like a third nipple, and I pointed it out. It's even got hair growing out of it. Oh my God. And so I would actually take my shirt off on stage, which... Mm-hmm. That was a bad idea.
Maybe.
You know, no one wants to see me without a shirt on. Chris Cruz, he actually has this joke about not wanting to take his shirt off in front of a girl. I believe he says, there's some things I don't want her to know until it's too late. Properly attributed, that was Chris Cruz. I'm not going to plagiarize like Rand Paul does. I don't know if you guys watch political news. Paul? No, I'm not.
I'm a fan of Ron.
Libertarianism is an excuse for selfishness.
Yeah.
You know, I would call myself a social libertarian because of the social issues, you should let people do what they want to do. But on economic issues, libertarianism just seems like selfishness. It's like the market is not going to fix everything. The market is not going to fill the freeway system. The market is not going to, you know, there's a lot of things that we got to do collectively. And it is the libertarian view that nothing should be done collectively. It should all be left to the
bigger
corporations. That's the pure libertarian. Uh-huh. Now, there's a lot of people out there who call themselves libertarian, but then they'll say, "Oh, well, yeah, but you know, there's some things that we have to." Well, then you're not really libertarian, and you need to stop calling yourself libertarian. I think I mentioned this earlier. Our country is based on two ideas. One is that you should be able to do anything you want to do as long as you're not interfering with anyone else's ability to do what they want to do, and we're all on the same team. And, you know, libertarianism and conservatism remembers the first one, but forgets the second one. And sometimes I think liberals remember the second one, but forget the first one. You know, because if it's your goal to completely ban all guns and take them away from everybody, okay, you've forgotten about the first rule. You should let people do what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you think everyone should be able to have any kind of weapon they want, you've forgotten about the second one.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same team. And you know what? There are people out there that just refuse to accept that and are going to go crazy and shoot people. And you got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
It's not just guns, but every issue. But anyway, I'm sorry. I don't want to turn this into a political cup.
No.
I thought you were going. I thought we were going that way.
I'm sorry about that.
I was going to say.
No, we're gonna get away from that.
If elected.
If you guys are foolish enough to vote for me, then fuck it. You deserve what you get. I first thing I'm going to do is double my salary.
yeah, and a fund for all your friends.
Yeah. You know, I've always wanted to see a politician go up to the podium and pull out a speech and say, "I'm here for my job interview," because that's what it is. Well, he's asking us to hire him to do that job. That's what it really is.
See, I had an idea, because rather than politicking, you know, rather than going on who can have the most money for all this promotion to promote, you know, that particular candidate, etc. Here's what I say. Okay, you want to run for a particular office? Fine. You come in. We're going to sit you down. We're handing you some booklets. Every one of you is taking a test. And the person who passes that test or gets the best score in that test is the most qualified. You know, it doesn't have to be a popularity contest like American Idol. Like, oh, I like him because, you know, he's a Republican.
Well,
he's a Democrat.
That works for some kind of jobs, but not others. It does that doesn't really work for a political position because, you know, how are you going to are you going to write the test to determine whether or not a person is pro-life or pro-choice? You know, because that's the argument we're having.
But when you have that argument, right? Like, okay, you have pro-choice, right? You have pro-life. That's always going to be there. But the reason why that's always going to be there is so you can have a divided line. So you can know, I'm obviously going to vote for him because he's pro-choice. I'm obviously going to vote for him because he's pro-life.
You know what? I want to get elected to Congress so that I can leave office and become a lobbyist. Because that's where the money is.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Well, hey, we're going to take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Paolo Martin and Edward Sativa. We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Edward Sativa and Paolo Martin. We are the Bitter Comics, and we are back. All right. About 6 months ago, I read a news story about a nightclub in Atlanta. And couple guys got kicked out. They were pissed off about it, so they shot the parking lot attendant. But he was unharmed because the bullet deflected off of the cell phone he had in his shirt pocket. And the first thing I thought to myself was, I've got to get that app. Now, so far I've been unable to find a bullet deflecting app. But in my search, I have found apps for just about everything else you can imagine. So a new segment that I'm going to be doing is, there's an app for that. I've always said I'd never want to date more than one girl at a time because I can't keep track of one woman's menstrual cycle, Why would I want to keep tabs on several? Well, now, there's an app for that. For all you players out there, I present to you, I Am a Man.
What?
Quoting from iTunes.apple.com, I Am a Man will help you with your private life planning. You will know about your girlfriend's period and her mood. You can plan your dates, evening, and save some money. I mean, why would you want to take her out when she's flowing, right? You're not going to get anything. Unless she's into that, and then you just want to take her out during that period. There's some women out there that, you know, there are women out there that they get really horny when they're on their period. So I heard. okay, so that's their pitch. But there are actually quite a few period tracker apps out there. Different apps are designed for different purposes. Some say they're for women tracking their own cycle. Some for tracking fertility. There's even one that said it's great for camp counselors.
Really now? Okay.
That's disturbing.
Does this also go to priests too?
What? No, priests.
No,
are,
that would be
the boys. They don't have to worry about. Yeah, the adolescent boys don't have periods.
No.
What makes I Am a Man the I Am a Man app different is that it has multi-tracking as well as a security functionality. Multi-tracking, basically you can track the cycles of multiple women at once. So when you're in the mood, you can flip through the different ladies in the app, pick the one that's at the point in her womanhood that you feel comfortable with, and then just tap on her name right in the app and it calls her.
This is a brilliant app. Yeah. This is for some people.
Yeah, for some of the players out there. Second, and perhaps most importantly, is the security the app provides. There's an overall main password that provides access to all of the data in the program. Also, in the event that your girlfriend or one of your girlfriends, quote, accidentally comes across the app in your phone and demands you open the program so she can see what's in there, I Am a Man provides a different password for each girl on the list. So whichever of the ladies it is making you open it, you put in her specific password, and it only shows her info. That way, you know, you're dating Jess, and you're dating Becky, and you're dating Sally. Jess says, hey, let me see this. You put in Jess's password, and she doesn't get to see Becky and Sally's info.
I think that's wrong, and men shouldn't treat women that way.
So whichever the lady, you just put in the password for her, she only sees hers. And the fact that I'm sorry, you only see her info and you don't see the fact that you're sleeping with Sally and Becky also, which, you know, probably her best friend and her cousin or something.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it works.
So I'm a Man is available for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad for just $1.99. At the moment, I couldn't find an Android version available, but it wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. So yeah, I Am a Man. Check that out if you're a player, and if you're a player hater.
Is there an app for that?
I don't, probably. Yeah, you know, hence the bitterness that of my previous period in my life. You know. I realize what a hack thing this is for a comic to do, complaining about how all the guys like the girl that treat them like shit.
Mm.
But you know why it's hack? It's because it's so often true. Girls seem to like the guy that treats them like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You're really telling me that you didn't know that the gorgeous dude who's so hot that you pay for dinner is cheating on you?
I got this one bit that I
was working on. It's like assuming that Edward here is being faithful. Ladies, look at this guy. He's freaking gorgeous.
I'm absolutely not being faithful.
He has the perfect face for radio.
Look at that. Look at that face. Look at that body. Jeez, I want to blow him now. I don't want to blow him now. I do not.
You do? No,
not.
You do?
I do not want to blow him now.
You don't.
No.
Later.
No.
I tell a woman she's beautiful, but I say that to every woman.
So do I.
So, but why not?
That though? Is why my that is how my father raised me. Every woman is beautiful.
Why not? Exactly. Every woman.
But you can also argue that every woman is beautiful, but there's a lot of like inner dickheads inside. You know, just dicks inside. just like nothing but dicks in there. Just it's a woman wrapped in dick clothing.
A woman wrapped in dick's clothing. That's right. That's what she's got a condom on her head? She's that would be a magnum. Yeah, I guess so.
But you're right. No, like it's truth. You know, like women tend to, you know, they like those assholes. Yeah. I got this bit that I was working on, right, about a girl who comes out of a coma. And, right, she has amnesia, right? But thanks to Facebook, like, you don't have to take her around to the places she's familiar with. You don't have to take her and to, you know, to talk to all the different friends that she's usually around to try to jog her memory. You just show her her Facebook page. And she's scrolling and she's looking and she's like, oh, my gosh. Who is this asshole in my picture with the bandana and the neck tattoos and this... Oh, that's your baby's daddy. It's like, oh no, that's
which
my baby's
baby?
Daddy.
Yeah, which
it's
baby?
Like, and she's scrolling down. Well, who's this nice fellow? He looks like he's got life together. This and that. Oh yeah, that's the guy you put in the friend zone.
Yes, that's the guy in the friend zone.
Everyone's been there.
You know, I've been in the friend zone so many. And you know, when a girl puts me in the friend zone, I stop being a friend. Seriously, it just and I walk away from it. You know, honestly, I didn't. I'm just not. I am not mature enough to be friends with a woman.
I
want to have sex with her. I just do. You know, sorry. You know, I'm a horrible person for having sexual desire. I realize what a fiend I am for that. You know, and I should probably be destroyed, but...
Hey, man, you should just change your religion to be like... You should just be an atheist to relationships. I am, because I believe I won't get laid.
There you go.
I'm the same way, and I you know, this isn't going to get me many women, but, you know, wait, no, I take it back. Being an asshole will get you many women. Yeah. I just want to have sex with every woman I see.
Yeah. You know, I had thought that, you know, I'm 41 now. I had thought they would calm down a little bit by now. And, like, I am seeing someone. I've been dating her for, like, 2 years. And I thought, you know, now that I have, you know, semi-regular sex, maybe it would calm down a little bit. It's worse.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I masturbate more now than I did when I was single.
I'm
didn't
glad
have a
to
girlfriend.
Hear that because I'm 5 years behind you, and when I get to where you're at, I'm happy to know that it's still going to be there.
Yeah, it's worse now than it was before.
There's something to look forward to in life.
Let's do a couple of news stories.
Sure.
We've got here. Don't drink the holy water. Okay, now this is not surprising. It's actually predictable based on the absence of supernatural powers of healing waters. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So, to me, holy water is just this water that's been sitting there for fetid for 6 months, you know. But despite its purported cleansing properties, holy water could actually be more harmful than healing, according to a new Austrian study on, quote, holy springs. Researchers at the Institute of Hygiene and Applied Immunology at the Medical University of Vienna tested water from 21 springs in Austria and 18 fonts in Vienna and found samples contained up to 62 million bacteria per milliliter of water, none of it safe to drink. Tests indicated 86% of holy water, commonly used in baptism ceremonies and to wet congregants' lips, was infected with common bacteria found in fecal matter such as E. coli, Enterococci, and Campylobacter, which can lead to diarrhea, cramping, abdominal pain, and fever. Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. Are you guys either religion?
No.
Religious people? No. You walk into the Catholic Church or whatever church, and they'll have the font of holy water there, and people will dip their finger in it and then, like, touch it to do the cross thing on themselves. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know people who they can never remember which way the cross is supposed to go, so they'll do it twice, once each way, you know, like they're covering themselves. I always tell them, look, you just did it and then you undid it. That's nothing. That doesn't count. But... You know,
if you do it the wrong way, does that mean it doesn't go far?
How many of you out there wash your hands before you stick your hands into that font? The answer is none. And now remember, no one else does either. So unless you're the first guy to touch that thing today, you know, the dude, like the priest, when he filled it, he probably went to the bathroom first and didn't wash his hands.
You know, guys don't wash their hands anyways.
No, guys don't wash their hands. And you know what? The priest is a guy. You know, it's so...
He's probably been touching little boys all day.
Of the holy springs investigated, only 14% met the microbiological and chemical requirements of national drinking water regulations. This is in the nation of Austria. Their drinking water regulations, not American drinking water regulations. Not the Evian stuff. Not this stuff we got in the bottled water. No, no. Considering results from sanitary inspections of water catchments, no spring was assessed as a reliable drinking source. Now, yes, obviously you're not really supposed to drink the holy water. Mm. But I understand now why holy water is so deadly to vampires. Because apparently it'll kill anybody. It just takes longer to kill normal people. So next time you're at the church and you see the font of holy water there, dump some Purell into it or something. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Just don't go near that stuff.
Put some chlorine in there and kill some other bacteria.
You know, my girlfriend is Catholic, and you know she goes up for the when they give the wafer to you. Yeah. What's that called? Communion.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone up there with her, so I don't know if she takes the communion wafer herself or if she lets him put it in her mouth. Different people do it different ways, and that's fine. But I hope he washes his hands then too. You know, I often wonder about that. And plus, if you're the end of the line, we are always sitting in the back of the church, so that means 400 people went before us. So he stuck his hand in 400 people's mouths before putting it into her mouth.
And that gets around.
Yeah, she's putting that in her mouth, but she won't give me a blowjob. Really? This is not cool at all. All right.
You don't know.
Damn it! I'm mad. Damn it. I just want a blowjob. More fun religious news. In a Texas mega church is at the center of a measles outbreak. Now, there's a lot of churches out there, or a lot of paranoia out there about, oh, immunizations, those are bad. Oh, they cause autism or whatever. Well, you know what? If let's pretend it's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. Getting immunized for measles will cause autism in 1 in 1 million people, or you can not get immunized and then get measles in 1 in 10,000 people. Well, I think we'd be better off getting immunized and dealing with the one guy who's able to win a lot of money in Las Vegas,
Tom Cruise,
with Tom Cruise, than to deal with all the people getting measles. But measles was declared eliminated in the U.S. more than a decade ago. But in recent years, the highly infectious disease has cropped up in communities with low vaccination rates, most recently in North Texas.
Oh, well, that's Texas.
There are 21 people, a majority of whom have not been immunized, have gotten the disease, which began as a vaccine at a vaccine skeptical megachurch. The outbreak began when a man who contracted the virus on a recent trip to Indonesia visited the Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, about an hour and a half northwest of Dallas. Crowds flooded in for the regular services. Rose Mwangi and her Bible in hand and said she's not worried because I know Jesus is a healer, so I know he's covered us with his blood. There is no place for fear. Ew!
Isn't that like the start of a cult?
I think so.
Drink the punch.
Okay, so we got this mega church that says not to get immunizations, and now everyone's getting measles. Really, you got nothing? You got nothing? What did I bring you guys here? If you're not gonna, you're supposed to help me make fun of this stuff.
You know, I'm just saying if you're gonna actually not get immunized, science has there's no opinion to science. It's just straight fact. It doesn't matter who or what you think.
I just gotta say that the fact that it's in Texas could probably clear up a lot of stuff for us right now.
I mean,
now.
It needs to happen.
I lived in Houston
Texas
for a year and a half. People in Texas are pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
I've never met people who are more proud of where they're from, and none of them can really tell you why. And in fact, if you ask them, well, you know, you love Texas. Okay, what is it about Texas that's so great? They'll say, what did you say? How dare you speak that way about Texas? They don't even know why. Oh. They're just reflexively irate about it.
Mexicans in Texas aren't immigrants. Even Mexican. They're Texan. They're like Texas. In the United States, it seems to me like Texas is its own country. Like, and once you get over there, it's like a whole different world.
Well, at one time, they were their own country. But and they will never let you forget that.
They
will have a flag with one star on it.
Right?
And this, I thought, was interesting. The treaty in which Texas joined the United States as a state, it was written in the treaty that if they chose to, they could divide Texas into five separate states. And some Republicans in the state have talked about maybe doing that because, you know, because of the very large Hispanic population, they're becoming more of a they're slowly becoming more of a Democratic than a Republican state. So they want to divide the state up. So then they'll have four Republican states, majority Republican, and then one that's Democrat.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, if you ask the Texan about the treaty, they will tell you verbatim. They will have that. We are going to secede. We know the. Every Texas.
Yeah, how'd it work? How'd it work out last time? Well, hey, we're gonna take a break again, real quick. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Edward Sativa and Paolo Martin. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Paolo Sativa and Edward Martin. I'm just kidding. Paula Martin and Edward Sativa, we are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, now I was telling you guys the other day about a speech that I wrote for a speech class I took, and you wanted to discuss it.
Yes, we're talking about the soft drinks.
Yes, well, fast food. I started off the speech by saying that I'm going to die because I love fast food. And I know that many years from now I'm going to be lying in a hospital bed, and that my heart is going to finally beat and push that last piece of cholesterol clogging my artery, and as I and I'll just pass away. But right now I love fast food. But just like the right wine can make or break your gourmet meal, the right soda will make or break your fast food meal. So it's important to pick the right carbonated beverage for the entree that you're having for your quickie lunch. And I had a whole breakdown on how to choose the appropriate soft drink for your fast food meal. And just as a quick rundown of that, if you're having burgers, you want cola. And the more toppings you have, the less sweet you want the soda to be. So if you just got a plain cheeseburger, maybe just pickles on it, then you want to go with Pepsi, because that's really about the sweetest of the colas. And if you're having a Big Mac, because it's got two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. So there's a lot of things on it. So you want to have Coca-Cola, because that's not as sweet, and it's actually a little bit more carbonated than Pepsi is.
Tell me about your research for this paper.
I went and ate fast food a lot.
That's great.
I've been eating. I've been researching this my whole life.
So you're an expert then. Legal title. Mm-hmm. As an expert, what was your legal title?
I didn't have a legal title. I made all this up. But and then for if you're having a fish or chicken, you want a lemon lime soda or some sort of a fruit soda. Now, if you're having chicken, you want a cloudy one, like Mountain Dew or Mellow Yellow. And if you're having fish, you want a clear one like 7-Up or Sprite. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you're having pizza, you got to have root beer with that. Once again, the more toppings you have, the less sweet you want the soda to be. So if you're just getting cheese or maybe just sausage, you want to go with Mug, because that's a really sweet root beer. And if you're having a combo or Meat Lovers, you want to go with something more more carbonated, not as sweet, like Barks. So that's basically it. I mean, that's not the whole speech, but that's basically
I learned the a fun fact from you. I learned that Super Burger was it was fish patty.
Oh, at McDonald's, the Landsea Air Burger. It's a hamburger patty, a filet of fish patty, and a McChicken patty.
How on would a bun. You have that?
Man.
That's the stumper right
there. Well, it doesn't matter. You're having everything on that, so it just doesn't matter what you have for the soda.
You have a suicide. You just
mix mix them all. You know, just go up there and. Did you guys ever see the AMPM commercial?
One, right?
Yeah, there's this guy. He goes into AMPM in the commercial. He's got the giant cup, and he goes up to each soda type. He didn't hiccup.
He didn't hiccup. I hiccup between each soda.
He hiccuped in between each one. Hiccup. No, I hiccup. He didn't hiccup. And he goes out to his car, and then you see him get in the car, give it to his wife. His wife tastes it and says, "You forgot the Mountain Dew."
How ungrateful is that? He got her every other single soda, and she's like, "What? I didn't."
I have to say that is a discerning palate right there. Is what that is. Okay. okay? This woman knows what she wants, and she knows how to make him get it, you know?
And but I'm telling you, at the same time, it's like, you know, you can give a woman almost everything in the world, and all she's going to want to know is, where's that other thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing to me how difficult it is to satisfy my girlfriend and how short a period of time that satisfaction lasts. Now, I don't mean sexually.
No.
You know, in fact, I wish she would allow me to satisfy her a little more often. sexually, but in all other things, it's like, you know, I'd always heard, well, you got to build up points, right? And you do nice things for her and you build up points. That way, when you mess up, you lose a few points, but you're still okay. That's bullshit. You can build up all the points you want, but what they don't tell you is that points reset about every 2.5 minutes. So what you need to do is have a shed in the back with a whole bunch of crap in it to give her. And that way, anytime you mess up, you go out in the back. You unlock the shed, you go in there, it's like, oh, let's see, flowers. No, this is a broke a window thing. Box of candy. No, this is a late. Fucked your cousin. Okay, diamond ring. Here we go. And give her the diamond ring. And you got to have all kinds of crap in the shed to give to her. And just make sure she doesn't know that stuff is out there.
That's a great
Because she app. Will go out there. She will cut that lock with her teeth. She will take everything out of it, and then you will lose points for hiding or for holding out on her.
There's an app for
it's
that.
It's like, wait, yeah, there's probably an app for that. She will be mad at you for trying to be prepared. It's basically, it's like, well, that was a Boy Scout. Be prepared. No, you're not supposed to be prepared. You're supposed to just give me. You should have given me all this shit already. That's right. Exactly. So,
but she would have to appreciate, you know,
no, she doesn't.
Being a connoisseur of all this fast food and sodas. I mean,
no, she doesn't. She hates that. I she was trying. She wants me to stop drinking soda. Which, in her defense, she wants me to stop drinking soda so I'm not so fat all the time. And she's right. I'm kind of fat all the time. You know, I'm not too bad. I can still tie my shoes without holding my breath. You know, I'm not that bad. But I could lose a few pounds. And you know, so she does want me to lose a little bit of weight because, you know, I keep telling her, look, my weight wouldn't bother me so much if you would get on top once in a while, but she's a pillow princess. She wants to just lie there on her back and let me do all the work. She does. She's a pillow princess. And I hope she doesn't listen to this episode of my podcast because she's going to be mad at me again. And I've done. The shed's empty. I got nothing.
I think I'm a bad influence on you, right about now.
No, the problem is that I will say anything. Is the problem?
It was the sativa, right?
It's the sativa.
Was that damn sativa? The sativa has gotten.
Yeah, that's right. do you guys? You guys are still going open mics. Have you worked on getting any other kinds of gigs or anything?
Yeah, there's one at Peeves Pub. There's one at Blue. I think
that's tonight.
No, that's next week.
Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Richie called me up last week, and we did a gig over there in Bakersfield at place called Lengthwise Pub.
Okay.
The thing about this,
it's amazing the weird places you end up doing comedy, right? Yeah. You know, I one time I did comedy at I was the stage was actually behind the bar. apparently, it used to be a strip club. And the stripper would be up there behind the bar, up on the that's where the stage was. And of course, you know, the other strippers would come out and give lap dance and all that stuff. But there would always be a stripper up behind. Well, it wasn't a strip club anymore. Now it was just a bar, and they had a comedy show there. So I'm standing there. There's actually the bartender is between me and the audience. And he's getting drinks and taking orders from everybody. And, yeah,
that's great.
That was just... No.
Yeah, that was my sarcasm.
One time in... I don't remember the name of the town, but there was this town where it was some small town in their downtown. So it'd be like if Clovis didn't have Fresno.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some little town like that. It was a smaller city. But the bar... was the width and length of if you put two bowling lanes next to each other.
Wow.
So it's like 6 feet wide and 40 feet long.
Huh.
And there was a stripper pole on the stage down at the back. A lot of stripper poles at comedy yeah, shows. I don't understand why. They got really upset when I touched the stripper pole while I was on stage. Wow. They took it very personally. It was important to them, apparently.
That's important, yeah.
Now, I think it used to be a firehouse or something, and it wasn't really a stripper hole. It was just a fire pole. But, you know, I told them, I thought, you know, they should have let me go upstairs and then slide down. And I think that would have been cool.
Do a little spin around and a twirl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I worked really hard on my aunt.
No, that one that we did in Bakersfield was weird. We're heading over there, and we're thinking, okay, lengthwise, pub. It's like a bar, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I wonder how rowdy this bar is going to be, right? We get there, walk inside, and it literally looks like an Applebee's. There's families there. There's children. I'm like, okay, there's a back room somewhere.
No, this is where the show's at.
No, yeah, the guy says, okay, guys, here's the rules. First of all, it has to be completely clean. Okay. All
right, see you later. You know, yeah, walk up on stage. So, Pokemon and Barney the Dinosaur walked into a bar. That's all I got for you, guys. I'm sorry.
Good night.
Done.
Good
night.
This is my last joke. My first joke is, this is my last joke.
We had one guy, he set up one at a bar, and he got too drunk, and there was only three people in the whole room, and just a bunch of comics. And towards the end of the night, he came up and just hate-fucked everyone. He went up, and he was just like, I hate you, screw you, this is not funny.
Just started swearing at the audience.
Just swearing and yelling.
This was a comic?
No, this was the guy who...
audience member? Or
the host.
Okay.
It was the host himself.
Oh, that's good.
And after 20 minutes of just hate-fucking the audience, he's like, oh, so here's Paulo.
Yay.
Let's get him back on here.
Yeah.
Have you done?
I've had some shitty intros too. Have you done some what?
Have you done that bottoms up that venue that bottoms
up? A while ago. Yeah. Oh, you did? Not in a long time.
How was that?
Last time I went there, they were charging like a $5 cover, and I'm not going to pay to go in and perform. You know,
so they charged you even to go perform?
Yeah. Well, you know, the next day I saw some of the other comics. They said, no, they let us in for free. So, you know, maybe if I said, I'm performing, they would have let me in. But you know, I think the worst intro. Okay. I like TK personally, but he gives the worst introductions of any host I have ever done comedy shows with. One time, he introduces me as, you know, this guy, he's been doing comedy around Fresno, so here's JT Foreman. And I, really?
That's great.
I was like, you know, I performed at the Comedy Underground in Seattle, at Stand Up New York, New York City, the Comedy Store in Hollywood, but the intro you're giving me is, he was at Crossroads last week? Seriously?
These are his credits.
I
was like,
yeah, I want to thank TK. I think he took a shit in Fowler yesterday, you know. But, yeah. I like TK personally, but he's always trying to scam shit too. Because I got a message from him in Facebook said, "Hey man, do you still charge $30 to rent your PA system?" He's rented my PA system from me many times. It's been $50 every time. He sends me a message: "Are you still renting your PA system out for $30?" I was like, "No, I'm still renting out for $50. Is this some sort of Armenian trick that you guys? Your voodoo will not work on me." All right. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Shouldn't be talking shit about people on the podcast. I'm going to have him on again so he can defend himself. Either you guys have any shows coming up you want to plug or anything?
Tonight.
Tonight's show, there's no point in plugging it because this isn't going to be posted
next
until tomorrow.
Wednesday, next Wednesday, I'm going to do that Bottoms Up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So they're having a showcase there. I don't even know who else is on it yet. But next Wednesday, I'm going to be doing that. So it's going to be my first time out there, so I don't know what it's like. That's why I was asking you. I'm going to try to ask other comics, see what it's like.
Yeah, it was cool. I never, for some reason, it doesn't occur to me that something is a rough place. When I was in the Navy the last 2 years, I was stationed in the Naval Hospital in Groton, Connecticut. I had an apartment in New London across the river, and everyone's like, oh, man, New London's really dangerous. It's a high-crime area. And no one ever bothered me. Maybe because I'm 6'1", 260. You know, maybe that's why people don't bother me so much, because I'm kind of big. But, you know, I never noticed that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it could have been the worst place in the world. But, you know, when I went there, I did all my jokes about growing up in Clovis and how weird the racism was. You know, talking about racist people reaction to white people to black people in Clovis, and there's a bunch of black people in the audience, and they were all laughing. All
right, okay.
And yeah. Everyone talked to me later. They're like, "I can't believe you did that material." I'm like, "What?
Like that's
you don't understand? Like, I don't understand what it is I'm doing wrong. You know, just I think with that material especially, you know, people get really uptight about it whenever a white person just talks about black people. Mm. You know, if you really pay attention, I think I'm making fun of white people and their reaction to black people in the routine. But just the fact that a white guy's mentioning black people, yeah, it makes some people uptight. So, but, you know, I thought it was great. You know, I mean, no one shows up, very few people, I don't want to say no one, very yeah. few people show up to a comedy show and want the comedian to suck. They're really, for the most part, they're on your side. Laugh, yeah. You know, yeah. Occasionally you get a drunken asshole or a bachelorette party, and they're just they want themselves to be the center of attention, and they're going to ruin everything for you. But for the most part, the audience really is on your side. So you know, it's honestly, I don't even worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that fear to paralyze me. You know, I always say that the only purpose of dignity and self respect is to keep you from doing the things you want to do.
Hmm.
I find them to be impediments, you know, and so that's why I don't have any dignity or self-respect. I'm better off without it.
Really. Yeah, look at it up this way, like logically, who premeditatedly packs a tomato in there? Yeah,
I've never been to a show and someone actually had a tomato there.
Yeah, you know.
Never.
Who's
going to come out?
I had someone pull a tomato slice off of their burger once, but then they ate it. They didn't throw it at me.
If you want to be prepared, just keep, you know, a couple slices of bread with you.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Mitch Hedberg who said, well, what if they like tomatoes? Now they're going to think you're doing good. It's like, hey, man, you guys are great. Have a tomato. All
right.
All right. Yeah, he said all right a lot.
Did he?
Yeah. He did say he says all right all a
right.
lot.
That guy
all right. Okay, so you're going to be at Bottoms Up next Wednesday?
Yeah, Bottoms Up next Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
Pete's Pub, I'm going next Wednesday as well, so come out.
That would be November 20th
yeah.
For both of those shows. All right, cool.
All right.
Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming out to do the podcast.
Thank you,
I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Had a great time hanging out with you guys. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Paulo Martin and Edward Sativa. Yes. We're the Better Comics, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.